Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dan Wiederer, on-air contributor for 670 The Score.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
I leave here tonight just thinking that maybe this was just a timely reminder that this team isn't there yet, and they're a long way from there yet, and this climb is really steep.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We got a bunch of new Bears to discuss, and what feels like a higher stakes environment for your Chicago Bears at the moment. So let's talk about it with our guy Dan Wiederer, who is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. He is on Twitter at Dan Wiederer. He's also at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, Dan. What's going on?
A whole lot. Man, what a last week this has been, right? After a busy few months, we got the exclamation point this past week, and it seems like a really exciting time to be following the Chicago Bears and trying to figure out where all this leads.
Are they ready for this? I know they think they are, but with everything they've put in place, this coaching staff, this ownership, this building, this recently shifted office under Kevin Warren, are they ready for this?
That's the question, and this is the test. And I think it's a valid question and one that we kind of have to chronicle through several different layers, because there's so much to that question and so much to be ready for and so many things happening at once as it relates to trying to have all of this off-season relevance turn into consistent in-season success. You've got to figure out the best path to get your quarterback from the early stages of his rookie season into a point where he becomes the engine of long-term success very quickly. And so now that's up to the coaching staff to figure that out. It's up to the front office to move things around. And then ultimately there's a spectacle to deal with as it relates to just the Caleb Williams experience. And that was very clear in his first, 36 hours as a Bear last week.
I feel like, though, that experience is very similar to existing as the Bears quarterback in the day and age of constant media. He's been hyped for months now. I talked about it since the Bears secured that pick on the 31st of December last year. Like, this is what it's been. I feel like that part of it, I know it's easy to do the talk right now, but I'll be damned if it isn't a good dress rehearsal for what might be coming up once the games happen.
Well, this is all at a higher level, and that was really clear on Friday. I've never seen that press conference room inside Hallis Hall bursting at the seams as it was on Friday. There's national interest in Caleb Williams that is here, and it's here to stay. And that didn't necessarily follow Mitch Trubisky in the league. It didn't necessarily follow Justin Fields into the league at this level. And so you've got to be ready for all of that, because there are going to be nonstop requests and demands on your starting quarterback's time. And everybody in the building has to figure out how to manage that in a way that keeps Caleb in a position to be at his best at all times. The one thing that obviously I think we all sort of gravitated toward on Thursday and Friday was his, I would say not only his willingness to lean into all this, but it seems that that's his default setting, that he's ready for this, that he's mentally prepared for it, that he's not shy about expressing his grand ambitions and attacking it. And I think that's maybe one of the cooler things of who Caleb Williams is just a guy who seems to be very comfortable and confident in that spotlight and with the pressure at its highest.
Last week, we heard Ryan Poles say that it's going to be hard to make this team. And I thought that was a very confident way of expressing, you know, a little patting of himself on the back and saying, look, this roster, it's a better roster. It's going to be hard to make this team. And then he goes out and uses a fourth round pick on a punter, which I thought was had a little bit of flex in it. Did you?
I don't know that if that was so much a roster flex as much as it was, we're in a draft with only four picks at the time. That was going to be their last selection in this year's draft. And they had identified a guy that they thought could be a true special teams weapon for them at a high level. And they just thought that, hey, if this is the last chance we get to pick, and we've talked for a couple months now about how much we like this kid, then let's just swing and get him. Along with that, you have to obviously understand that there are still holes on your roster. I think we would all be in agreement that the defensive line could use some reinforcement. You're putting a lot of faith in Jervon Dexter to take that next leap at the three tech position. You're putting a lot of faith in DeMarcus Walker and being able to be a consistent threat opposite of Montez Sweat on the edge. And so now you just have to see how the Bears move from here. There is like a seventh wave of free agency that will occur in the next couple of weeks with these guys that are still out there, these long in the tooth journeyman veterans that are looking for a 1 year proven deal. And we'll see if Ryan dips into that market. Obviously he waited a little while last year before grabbing Yannick Ngakoue off that same shelf, that bargain shelf that's there. There are some roster holes here still to plug. I just think with Taylor that they identified a guy that they found, it's weird to say, but they found him to be an exciting punter, not only for his elite leg strength, but for his ability to place the ball where he wants it to go. And so they thought that was worth rolling the dice on, even with some other needs to fill.
I just always worry about the rebound aspect there, where a good punter looks so much better and so much more desirable because your previous one wasn't sufficient.
The other part about Torrey Taylor is that you're not guessing. He had a lot of opportunity at Iowa, so it's not a small sample size. And so every bit of tape you've watched on him has been followed by another volume, another volume, and another volume of video that tells you who he is. Look, I thought Bigsy asked a really good question on Saturday about, you know, can he hold? This is a guy from Australia, didn't have a whole lot of experience playing football growing up. Can he be a holder? And they seem to be really comfortable with his ability to handle that job as well, because that's obviously one of those underrated roles on your football team that you have to feel really good about, particularly when you're mixing up the battery for your kicker. Cairo Santos should adapt pretty quickly. But interesting day three pick for sure. And also a footnote, because we all know that everything that happened this weekend is going to be defined A, by Caleb Williams, and then kind of by the Caleb Williams Roma Dunze union and how far the Bears can ride that.
Did any name jump out at you among the undrafted free agents signed by the Bears?
I think this corner from Troy, Reddy Stewart, a guy that I think they've identified as a guy who could make this roster. And that's hard to say, given that might be the position that has the most strength at it going in. You know, you've got your five starters pretty much locked in, but that might be a guy there that gives you an ability to play special teams early and then work into a heightened role. The further he gets and the more opportunity you get when circumstance comes up, whether it be injury or something else. The defensive tackle from Illinois, Keith Randolph Jr., certainly will have an opportunity to show himself. Those would be the two that I'd circle from the UDFA class. And then we'll probably learn more about these guys as we get into rookie camp next week. And then the OTAs, which are right behind that. And before you know it, I think we're like only like 10 or 11, 12 weeks from the start of training camp with that early start to training camp due to the Hall of Fame game appearance.
Is the father of Western Kentucky quarterback Austin Reed also an arm wrestling champion just by any chance?
I don't believe so. And I always remind people, because on the night that the draft ends, there's always a ton of buzz on the quarterbacks that get picked up in undrafted free agency, and you need more than one to run a rookie mini camp. Mm-hmm. And so there will always be a guy to throw the ball around for a few days. And now listen, like, I also I will confess to this. When the Bears signed Tyson Bagent last year, I said, yeah, let's see, you know, and I was wrong because he truly went out and earned his role and earned his spot on the roster with what he did. So I'm never going to close the books on anyone, but you know, there is some things that are just mechanical and logistical that have to occur in the month of May.
If you were putting together your ideal draft, given the Bears picks, I'm not saying a mock draft, but the ideal draft. And yes, I'm asking you this with the bias of it having just happened.
Yeah.
What would you have done?
I don't hate what they did. I mean, obviously the number one pick is the entire world would have done that. And so that's pretty easy. I said for weeks that you could have justified going four different directions at nine, whether it be a pass catcher, a edge rusher, a defensive lineman, or trading back. I think that they identified a playmaker in Odunze who also has the character fit that they're looking for and also will have time to grow into his role. And also is obviously clearly in a very short amount of time built up this synergy with Caleb Williams. I think that there was such an attraction to that, that it was like, let's not get too cute here and let's just make this happen and then try to see where it takes us. I'd be really interested to know if under Truth Serum that the Bears were waiting for Braylon Trice to fall in round three. And you know, one pick, he goes right before they take Karan Amagaji. I'm going to have to work on the pronunciation. There's a few pronunciations on this new look Bears
yes.
roster.
Yes, well, there's on. A Is few it... pronunciations on Karan Amagaji too.
and there's they signed a linebacker in free agency, and I've just been calling him OG because his last name is impossible for me to even wrap my brain around. So we'll work on that. That's part of what us reporters have the month of May to do, is to sit in a room and just recite into the mirror the pronunciations of these guys. But Layla, like with only four picks, it's like you're really putting all your attention on those first two. And I don't know that anyone could sit and look at that pairing and go, man, you have regrets about that. Now we'll see where it goes. None of this is a guarantee of success, but you really do have to love that union of those two guys. And again, just the synergy that, you know, we asked Rome Odunze at the combine what he knew about Caleb Williams, and they really didn't know each other at all other than playing against each other once in the Pac-12. And so to see that chemistry mushroom as fast as it did is notable to me.
I mean, to me, I'm happy about them being happy together. There are certainly ways that you can detect if people are not. So I'm also aware of how many times we've talked about in the offseason pairings of Bears starting quarterbacks and receivers wanting to get on the same page. The good news is there's other options. You have Keenan Allen on this team. Yep. You have DJ Moore. That's what makes it encouraging. There is a part of me, a very Debbie Downer part of me, that wonders if they should have gone offensive linemen, but I don't know how you do it if he's there at nine. Like that's really my problem with it, is the investment pieces versus the immediate payoff pieces. It's a wonderful thing to be worried about.
Well, look, in drafting Amagaji, and we're gonna go with that for this particular hit, and we'll
that's
see if
what
we
I thought as well. Yes.
we'll have to change it as we go forward. They seem to believe he's got upside enough to develop into a potential starter at left tackle. And now my sense coming out of the weekend was that, you know, he'll be a swing tackle option as a rookie, but if you can develop him under the tutelage of Chris Morgan quickly, you feel like you've got somebody in the building that can push Braxton Jones. And then when you create that healthy competition in there, maybe you do have something there that can help create that. Remember, Braxton Jones came out of nowhere 2 years ago and won them over quicker than anyone thought he would, and took to their teaching really fast and became a starter. And so there's no ceiling on Karan Amagaji right now. You just have to kind of be realistic about how fast you think he'll get there and be open-minded if he gets there quicker than you thought. But they certainly were expressing optimism that he has starter level potential sooner rather than later.
Where's my center, damn it? I know they like these journeyman guys they brought in. Oh, this guy started this number of games. Do they not care about the position as much as I do?
I wouldn't say that. I just think, like, you know, you're using resources in various ways, you know? And again, this was a draft where you used draft capital in other ways. This was a round two pick, went out the door last November for Montez Sweat. And I think we'd all agree, nice job, right? The fourth round pick went out the door, a month ago for Keenan Allen. I think we'd all agree, nice job there. And so you just have to use your resources accordingly. You're never going to be able to fill everything in one offseason. And they got themselves some flexibility with Bates and Shelton to allow themselves to not be urgent on that front. And then now one of those guys is going to have to go really put a stranglehold in that job and play at a level that allows things to function up front. Because as we all know, if you're leaky up front, it really kind of makes life difficult on a young quarterback.
Tell me about it.
Got a lot to try to figure out, you know?
That's what I'm dealing with. And then I'm mad at myself for having the thoughts.
That's why I don't wear khakis anymore.
But what, like one of the,
there's
the,
that.
One of the cool things about this is you think that you now have got yourself a next level quarterback that can mask some of these deficiencies, whether it be in personnel, whether it be in coaching, whether it be everything. If Caleb Williams is everything he's been advertised to be, this is three worlds above Mitch Trubisky. It's two worlds above where Justin Fields was. There are gifts for the quarterbacking position that Caleb Williams has on day one of rookie minicamp that those other guys were still trying to figure out well into year three. And so that's the jackpot that you just claimed in this lottery. Thank you, Carolina Panthers. Thank you, Houston Texans, for winning that game in week 18. This has all led you to having a guy that is supposed to be the guy that makes up for other people's deficiencies. And again, like I'll say this, like getting to know Caleb Williams a little bit better over the last month or so, I have different perceptions of him than I did back in January. And I'm enthused about that. I'm optimistic about that because he really does seem to have a very grounded ambition about him, if that makes sense. Like he's speaking high level goals out there into the public, but he also understands what it takes from him. And he just seems to have a very, very notable comfort in the way he's going to attack this. And it's changed who I thought he was and who some people in the league thought he was when the pre-draft process started to really intensify after the year.
I think there's some generational conflict there. I think when there's so much being said about you on that level surrounding you, that you have a couple different ways you can go about it. And if the best path for that person is to control some of the narrative himself by speaking more, I don't hate that approach at all.
No, but I also don't think I think he did, you know, look, like I spent 7 years on Tobacco Road and covered Coach K for a long period of time. And one of the things that I thought that I learned from following him was learning what to ignore and what to respond to, you know. And there's an art to that, particularly for a 21, 22 year old kid that has to decide when to chime in on the conversation and when to sit back and say, I don't really care if people have these misperceptions about me. I'm comfortable with myself. My teammates and coaches know who I am. And if these things want to take on a life of their own in social media and in the public construct, then that's fine. I'm cool with that. And so I think like Caleb's found that balance through his experience, you know, in high school and college and coming up through the ranks to be able to know when to ignore and when to chime in. Look, like he's about to get it on a much louder, more amplified level here in Chicago. The criticism's going to be, you know, really loud when he struggles for a month. The praise is going to be over the top when he has a couple 400 yard games. Yes, I am predicting a couple 400 yard games in his career. And he's just going to have to learn to deal with that all. But he seems to understand that that's coming and has comfort in his own skin and faith in the people around him to help him navigate all that.
Well, Dan was talking about scouts. Not so much Joe Schmo, who's going to complain about everything on any given day. I think that there are some scouts who maybe, you know, did him a disservice when it came to describing his personality and how it might fit. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that with younger generations pushing back against scouts who come from older schools of thought. That was my observation.
Yeah, no doubt.
And those
doubt.
People are affecting your bottom line. You know, they're affecting your livelihood.
But some of this is also like there was some really detailed homework that needed to be done from January through April. And I give the Bears credit for going out and doing it with an open mind and doing it in a number of different forums with a number of different strategies to try to figure out what they were dealing with. You know, that the private dinner at Hal's Hall during his 30 visit to send him off with some of the core team leaders of the team to get their feedback. To me, it was some emotional intelligence by Ryan Poles to understand that how important that is to feel whether that connection is there with some of the guys that you've already put your chips in and said, these guys are going to lead us, whether it be DJ Moore or Cole Kmet or TJ Edwards, and to get the feedback they got in that forum and match that up with how they experienced Caleb in LA, you know, before his pro day, to match that up with what they got at the combine. Like they did homework that they knew needed to be done, and they got the answers they wanted. And now obviously you pair that up with the tape and the gifts. And the, I mean, like, again, I can't stress it enough. Like the Caleb Williams walks in here next week to practice as the most gifted quarterback to ever put on a Bears jersey. And now it's up to him to use those gifts to take the Bears where they haven't gone. But we've never seen a guy with this number of traits at that position to try to take their swing at what we know has been a high strikeout rate challenge here in Chicago.
I don't like doing this sometimes, but in a pro town, it's okay. We're not doing this with kids. These guys do it for a living. When we talk about the roster spots that are now in danger because of the draft, Trenton Gill is obviously out.
Yeah,
we know that. My other guess would be that the Dominique Robinson experiment as an edge is probably supplanted by Austin Booker.
Can I also throw in Velus Jones?
Well, that's the question. At some point, even though that was your first big offensive draft pick and you've been invested in him, I'm wondering when Velus Jones is out. Any other? Who else did you circle as now in danger of losing a roster spot?
Well, the Velus Jones one is really interesting because of the change in the kickoff rules, right? And if they believe internally, Richard Hightower was part of the group of special teams coordinators who helped revise these rules in a way that are going to work in the NFL. And if you determine that there are going to be a significant volume more kickoff returns and you really feel like he still has kick return potential, well, maybe he does get one last long look during training camp this summer and preseason games to say, yeah, like I can be this guy, you know, a specialist only and mixed in periodically as a gadget guy on offense. You know, the Austin Booker pick to me is really, really interesting because he even agreed, you know, the word on him in league circles is that he's raw. And I asked him, was that fair? And he said, 100%. You know, I've got a lot of growing to do in terms of physically in my body to get ready to play at the NFL level. I've only played a very limited amount in college through two stops at Minnesota and Kansas. There's, you know, no promise that he's ready to go at the start of the 2024 season in a significant way. And that's a position, Dan, where they don't have a ton of depth right now. And so Dominique Robinson may be actually a beneficiary of the fact that they haven't fortified the depth there in a way that chews up a ton of roster spots. Look, they're going to have a lot of work to do to figure that. I think that defensive front is the place where I'm like wanted more out of this offseason than they got. And now we've got to figure out how they have the vision for that. But a guy we haven't talked a lot about in this offseason is Eric Washington, the new coordinator. And one of his strengths is in grooming defensive linemen. And so you would think the pairing of him and Austin Booker might be very beneficial. But we'll see. We'll see when we get out on the field and what he brings to the table right away.
Dan Wiederer, now you've been super busy. I don't know if you're going to take a there is no break because we got rookie mini camp coming up.
And schedule release next
and
week.
And so, my God, all the cartoons and the memes.
There's one thing Dan loves.
And the anime and all that.
Well, this schedule's cool. I tweeted it out on Friday. They've got six games against quarterbacks who were drafted number one overall, four games against quarterbacks that were drafted in the top 10 this year. So like if you're a schedule maker and you're looking for primetime possibilities, man, the Bears are going to have like five, six primetime.
You know, last better. But wait, schedule. but you know better because at least half of those are going to be against second or third string quarterbacks.
Yeah. But when the schedule's being made, they're not counting on
I know. Nobody is. I keep reminding everybody's like, I said, well, look, guys get hurt. Guys get hurt. Quarterbacks get hurt. Linemen get hurt. All of these skill position players, is there going to be enough to go around? Yes, because half these people are going to be hurt.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I've sat through some games with QB2 versus QB3.
I've never seen a damn NFL game before. My God.
Dan hates the schedule.
No, it's fine. Kids love it. I can get into it now with all the Easter eggs and the animated cookies and all your things. Dan Wiederer, thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
That is Dan Wiederer. So he said something. He said something about the stakes being raised, about the way that Caleb Williams is embracing all of this. Let's talk about that further. Let's let that breathe a little bit about leaning in and owning what this pressure cooker is. Because why not? Why not? If they're not worried about it, that'll be our job. I'll take that on. I'll do everybody's worrying for them while they go try to be great.
It's almost like you've put fun into worrying.
Ooh, now that would be irony, I believe. We'll discuss next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. You know, there's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. You know, special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, it's we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck. You know, attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
Go get it, baby. Look out, ducks. Woo! No reason to duck.
Whoa, look out. Ducks. Whoa.
No reason to duck.
I don't even want the context of that. I like it just as it is.
That was a foul ball into the booth. It was White Sox Dodgers at Glendale. We're doing the show from the broadcast booth as a ball was coming in.
I thought there were real ducks.
No, he meant to say look out, duck, but he said look out, ducks.
Whoa, look out. Ducks. Whoa.
You can hear the ball slam into the wall next to my head. And that's Goff laughing in the back. You can hear the noise of impact if you listen carefully.
Whoa, look out! Ducks! Whoa!
Boom, came right in.
Amazing.
On a line.
The laughing is really funny. Goff laugh in the back.
Well, the best Goff laugh was when we were interviewing Stone on that same trip, is when he worked in the title of his book, Where's Harry? And then Terry got off mic and went, and then you hear, and Goff immediately fell down. Like he didn't even laugh. He just kind of got paralyzed and fell over.
Learning the Jason Goff origin story is one of my favorite parts about working here.
That wasn't it. It was a different one. So I think it's cool that they're not worried about the burden of history. They're not worried about all these mistakes the Bears have made at quarterback because they hadn't arranged their organization in the right way. That's why I asked Wiederer that question first. Because the curse of the Bears is as much the environment as it is the quarterback himself.
No doubt.
And I don't know that they've learned their lesson enough, because I'm not sure this is... When you just brought your offensive guy in, the truth is, I've never seen Shane Waldron coordinate a Bears offense.
I've never seen Shane Waldron run a Bears offense. I have no idea if it's going to be good or not. I know they're putting in all of the elements that should allow it to be good. And that's and make sure the floor is as high as possible.
I know you're skeptical of his partnership with Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll was a part of it. However, did that encourage you at all?
There's every reason to be encouraged. They've got receivers. They've got tight ends.
They've got a better line. OC who has OC experience.
I think the running back thing is okay. I'm not the biggest Khalil Herbert fan. And I think Roschon Johnson has been a lot more hype than
he might have been drafted on vibes.
Production. He's got great vibes, babe. But you don't win football games with vibes.
That's why DeAndre Swift is here.
I understand that.
But you don't win friends with salad.
You need more than one. You need more than one back who's really good. And I think
I would love a better line just like you would.
Yeah, and I still need center. But
right guard is still a big question mark.
Right guard is sort of like box safety or first base or DH. I think you can find a guy there.
Well, I mean, they have one, but he hasn't always been available. And not his fault.
Funny that the Cubs need a first baseman.
We were going to talk about that.
Badly.
But I guess they didn't score an error on Dansby, by the way. They called that a hit.
But Dansby did get an error because Bush misplayed an easy one hopper. And then Nico Horner gets an error because Bush is wandering out where he shouldn't have been out wandering.
Well, and I hate to say this, but like there have been a couple of odd defensive miscues
on
Dansby's part without Michael Bush.
Yes,
like,
there
just
have.
Independent of that.
I think he needs to play a little bit deeper at his age.
We should talk about it.
That's for another time.
We should talk about it in a separate segment.
That we should. That's probably for another time.
Sunday Night Baseball was interesting.
But I guess it's weird, and I'm torn mentally because I want to celebrate the Bears owning the risk and owning the excitement and being mesmerized and tantalized by the ceiling. Go ahead, you can do that. But I don't want to lose sight of the reasons for the failures of the past. And I guess I have to be sort of like I feel like a member of the Knights Templar, where they would guard the Holy Grail. And in this case, those of us who still remain skeptical, not necessarily negative and not sort of definitively defeatist, but we still have to guard against the hubris of thinking that now is it and all of the sins of the past don't have anything to do with it. I understand that that's true, but guys have been brought into an organization that wasn't properly optimized for their development.
Correct. Also, hey, Dan.
Hey, Layla.
Would you like to hear how historically bleak it has been passing-wise, where even you and I may have forgotten when exactly the last 400-yard game was?
I had
one. Yeah. Adam Studzinski has provided us with information.
So when Wiederer in the last segment mentioned that he is predicting a 400-yard passing game from Caleb Williams, I said, hey, when was the last time that we saw a Bears quarterback do that? And the answer floored me.
I could have told you.
The last time that quarterback threw for 400 yards was November 14th, 1999, Jim Miller threw for 422 yards in a game that they lost to the Vikings by 3 points.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you Jim Miller doesn't want to be the guy with the last 400-yard game for the Bears. Like, he doesn't want that title either.
I guarantee. Hold on, there's more. The last time that it happened before that, November 18th, 1962, Billy Wade. The last time before that was in 1949, Johnny Lujack. The last time before that was Sid Luckman in 1943. Four times in the 104-year history of this stupid franchise, a quarterback has thrown for 400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It's just super mind-boggling. So if Caleb Williams throws for 400 yards in a game at some point in his Bears career, he will be the fifth quarterback to ever do that in a Bears uniform.
What's also interesting to me is the concept of all of these questions theoretically being answered in a normal sense by people like me or Roma Dunze asking if it was Jay Cutler or Brandon Marshall for any of these receiver questions, or even the one where we did the receiver who had last gotten player of the week, you know, NFC offensive player of the week.
Is it Marcus Robinson?
You'd think it
would have been Brandon Marshall. You'd think it would have been Jay Cutler as the answers for a lot of these, but they're not. And that leads me to ask the bigger question. Was that kind of a sign of how it was, where they should have been the answers to these questions, but they just weren't?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All of the above is true, without
I
a doubt.
See. Yes.
A couple of news and notes here from NFL Media. Jason Kelce is apparently joining ESPN's Monday Night Countdown. And CBS has announced that both Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason are off of their NFL day coverage at the desk. And both of those guys will be, they'll be melded into one former white quarterback in Matt Ryan.
Simsiason. Matt Ryan was a good analyst last year.
I thought so too.
He was funny. He was self-aware. He was joking about who had the most number of sacks against him or intercepted him the most. I feel like he had a good time with it.
Speaking of which, can we celebrate Keon Coleman being awesome?
I have a really interesting story about watching his combine video with Alex Brown, by the way.
So let's do all of that. Because this was one of my guys before the draft, now of the Buffalo Bills wide receiver, Keon Coleman. But he's a thing. He's a thing.
Alex agrees with you.
Good. It's next on the score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
With the 33rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Keon Coleman, receiver, Florida State.
I love hearing the let's go scream in the background.
I kind of wanted him, but I guess Roma Dunze will have to do. I'll just live with that.
You know how to say his hometown, by the way?
Have I looked?
Opelousas.
Opelousas.
Louisiana.
Opelousas, Louisiana. Okay.
Just fun. Something.
Where
we've
is
been
that?
Talking about pronunciations the whole time.
Where's that relative to New Orleans? I'll be spending more time in Louisiana coming up over the next several years.
Hey, the dramatic reveal of information. I'd say it's due north of Lafayette and west of Baton Rouge. So it's kind of in the middle of the state.
Ain't going to be there. I can tell you.
Yeah. I don't know what happens over there, except they make a lot of boudin.
White boudin. I love boudin.
Okay, so you have some pluses
love it,
here.
Love it, love it.
He also he turned a lot of heads. Alex Brown particularly excited about him at the combine, talking about the difference between your 40 speed making a difference in a game and your actual game speed making a difference in your game.
Which they try to measure now.
DK Metcalf is the outlier, you know? He's the outlier showing you that he can use it in a game, I feel like. What do you like about Keon Coleman?
Well, I like the highlights and so many of the contested catches, and just watching him, the body control and how he is able to get some free releases even when guys are up on him, just because he has a solid understanding of that. And I have not read his scouting report on the Beast yet, so I'm just going from what I saw, which wasn't a lot. And it's not like I broke down game film, but then hearing the stuff he says and watching him, this was his introductory press conference, and he's wearing this bright canary yellow parka. He looked like a marshmallow peep, and he was asked about his parka, and it led to good advice.
Huh? Man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? Guess where I got this from, though. I'm saying you got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess. Nah. Macy's. What you mean? They be on sale on the rack. All the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I'll take it up personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one. See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I get, you see, I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Because you go on Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Who we starting with? My bad, hold up. Y'all can hear me? This on or this off? All right, bro. I'm Jamaican Sean, who we ain't trying to set me up. Who we got going first?
Who's trying to set me up?
And then at the
he's not wrong, by the way,
about shopping.
Yeah,
that's really smart. There are a lot of people who buy their Christmas stuff in the first week of January because they buy it for next year.
Let me tell you something. Keep yourself a note in your notes app, and anytime you think of a possible present for another individual, just put it in there. Makes your Christmas shopping a lot cheaper.
Smart. Listen to the advice that you get here. But he's talking about what the sale on the rack of the nice coats like that. And then at the conclusion of the press conference, he took every question. It's like, okay, we're good. And then he kept looking to his left. And there was a table set up for the assembled media, which is very, very nice, of snacks.
You know, we can empower each other.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Yeah, I can grab some of them.
He's walking over to the snacks table, and he's like, I can grab some of them? He's like, yeah. And he just walks right over, and he looks, and then he picks up a cookie. He's like, are these good? And what's the media member? She's like, oh, yeah, those are fire. And she's like, I'll have one with you. And he's like, well, I don't know if I want a whole one. She's like, I don't want a whole one either. He goes, okay, let's go have these. And he breaks it in half and gives her a half. It was just really, he's going to be so much fun. So many of these guys now are just awesome.
Wholesome, enjoyable, and media savvy. They're comfortable with the media. A lot of those guys exist. They just weren't that comfortable with speaking to the media that frequently.
You know why? Because so many of these bullcrap college sports information departments don't have a bunch of stick up their hiney SIDs walking around trying to take the fun out of it and control everything that they do and everything they say. The universities can't do it because they are selling their own name, image, and likeness, and they get to be themselves. And it's good.
Well, and a lot of times they're doing the coach's bidding, and it's just, you know, no questions, like keep everybody vague so that way nobody makes mistakes. And I understand that that blanket policy can be useful, but it's nice to see people have personalities. Now, Alex Brown and I were talking about Keon Coleman because we were discussing 40 times, and his was not great at the combine. It was a 4.61, and that'll turn some people off. But he was like, did you see the drill he ran from sideline to sideline, along the 30-yard line? It's the one where receivers catch balls over each shoulder while running. And the acceleration speed, and that's a good test of game speed. Coleman initially starts at 10 miles an hour, accelerates immediately to 19, goes up to 20.8 miles an hour at his fastest before he hits the sideline. That is, if you're looking for game speed and the way he kept that line and the integrity of running on the line and how he barely stepped out, that was pretty impressive. Guys will fall down on that drill. And Alex was like, watch this drill specifically. And that's when I turned to AB and said, how much of the combine did you watch? And he's like, pretty much all of it.
I bet.
But the way he was able to translate the discussion as to why he liked him gives me encouragement to see what he can do in a game.
And I wonder if he Florida stuff is more on his radar of anything happening down there because of the SEC concentration. I would imagine that he's probably seen those guys a lot more than others have.
Him having gone to Florida, I'm sure he keeps an eye on Florida State, yes.
Right.
I mean, even though they're ACC, I still think it's something he keeps an eye on. And he's based in Atlanta, so I feel like that's all. If you're familiar with somebody because you've seen TV tape of them, you want to see what happens at the combine. But that was a really fun drill to watch for sure. And it shows you the power that he can have. That will be something if you can translate that to NFL.
That's Layla Rahimi in for Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. And when we come back, we are going to get the post-Bears draft thoughts of one Anthony Heron next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.